I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss proposed T-SPLOS projects, state house elections, and the legislative delegation's request from the ACC government. Those topics and more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Blake Odd from Flagpole, Gwen O'Looney from WXAG, and District 6 Commissioner Jerry Neesmith. Welcome, everybody. And
thank you.
We can go ahead and start with our first topic, and that's our T-SPLOS projects, which people are going to be voting on this year for projects next year if they pass. So, Jerry, do you want to start there?
Yes, the voting has begun. The polls are open.
The poll.
In fact, it's, while
it's
we're
only
talking
downtown,
about the poll, yeah,
yeah.
We're talking about the poll. In fact, Gwen, did you not get some
early voting? I talked with them, and in the first 3 days, they've had over 300 people, but that is not 100 a day. Mm-hmm. Has got to increase if we get the kind of turnout that we really need on any election.
That's pretty good for early on, though. I mean, it always rises as it continues as you get closer to election day.
So anyway, on T-SPLOS, what I encourage people to do is go to athensclarkcounty.com, and at the bottom of the page you'll see a banner, and one of the banners is T-SPLOS. If you click on that banner, you will be able to go and see the list of T-SPLOS programs and their costs and some other information. There are 19 projects, 17 if you don't count the city of Winterville and the town of Bogart, which are worth exploring so that you understand what you're voting for.
Can you tell us some of the items on the list?
Sure. There's airport capital improvements, which is matching funds. It will be matched 90% by the federal government. This will be 10%. This is $1.5 million. The transit vehicle expansion of $4 million and replacement. That is to provide bus service out 29 out north?
I believe so, yes.
All the way to the DMV.
And to buy hybrid electric buses as well.
Yes, yes. We've got some on order already. They take a couple of years to fulfill, but this would be some more hybrid electric buses.
Right. And that kind of money is always quickly matched by the feds.
Right.
That kind of investment shows our commitment to expanding, et cetera. There are all those positives there that bring in outside money.
Well, the third project is bus stop facilities improvement. It's only $500,000, but that's because we got a grant recently for $2 million for bus stop improvement. So we should see our bus stops be upgraded.
Right. Well, I would love to see more of those art stops.
Right. Oh, I would too. But, you know, right now we've got bus stops along Atlanta Highway that are just little concrete pads and a sign. Lots of them, 10 or 11 of them. You know, and people are standing out there in the rain and the sun. It's just terrible.
I totally agree. But I'm also saying that the ones that we have that are art stops on Atlanta Highway are some of the most attractive parts of Atlanta Highway.
If I remember correctly, those were partially privately funded. I think the Arts Council
kicked less than $5,000 per piece.
Kicked in the extra money for the art aspect of it. So maybe there's a partnership there that could continue.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, item four is transit service expansion, and that is the new bus route.
Okay.
Then the Greenway project's $10 million. That's primarily for a route along Martin Luther King to get down to the river instead of walking on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Which is more than just a trail. It's going to actually help. It's going to be a real attractive trail in town.
It's beautiful down there.
It's going to make it a true greenway, not just a wide sidewalk.
And the Oconee, I'm sorry.
And isn't that also going to, at least some of that money is going to go towards extending it down south towards the east side, too, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then I'm sorry.
Let me just say, Jerry.
Yeah.
That I don't want to emphasize this too much because there's so much in this plan that really is operative and capital that we would have to spend and saves us money. You know, I don't want people to think this is a frou-frou T-SPLOS at all. But I will say that Greenway project and the Firefly will really wind together all of these in such a way that for the first time we'll have a network.
Right.
Because right now it's kind of a joke. You know, you can go so far and it feels really good, and then you have to go back.
Yeah. And the first leg of Firefly Trail is actually being dedicated today, Friday.
Friday.
At 3:30.
Yes.
And
it's at East Broad at Potter Street.
Right. Gwen, you're absolutely right. When this is done, I mean, this is going to provide a true commuting option where you're going to be able to get from one end of the county to the other without ever being on a road.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
That Winterville connection, which is another project on the T-Splost is money for completing the Firefly all the way to the county line at Winterville.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So imagine you'll be able to bike or ride from Winterville all the way downtown into the university.
Yep. Right. And if you live in, you know, Cedar Creek or other neighborhoods on the east side, Green Acres or on College Station, you'll be able to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it's going to tie into the park and ride too, which
yes,
is another
that's
aspect
right.
that I think is important.
That's right.
And it'll be what I think is really something that other communities have experienced, and I think we will experience to a very large extent, is people who come here to ride on that, you know, park at the federal park and ride and get on their bikes and really use this as a recreational thing. It's a destination attraction. And it'll be interesting to see how I think we as the center of Northeast Georgia, with the only one that has this kind of thing, we're going to see a very large influx of that kind of use.
Okay, and then another project is pavement rehabilitation. That's $25 million. It's the largest ticket item on here by far. And that's to repave about 260 streets that have fallen into such disrepair that they're way behind, and we simply don't have the budget in our general fund to do this because of the money we've lost from the state.
That's right.
For one reason.
Yes, we used to have local assistance to repavement projects or
get LMIG. We still get some of that, but it's not like it used
to be. It's nothing.
I think cut it like 30% when we voted down the first
T-Splost this year, which is the largest we've had in a long time.
It's a good chunk.
But I think we all need to realize that this is, if we have to repave our streets, the ones that are in bad repair, if this doesn't pass and we don't get this $25 million, then we're going to have to get the money somewhere.
Right. But you know,
and that would be property taxes.
More than likely. I don't know another alternative.
Now, Jerry, one of the things that concerns me about this is that it only shows $5,000 as our operating impact. And the reality is that if we're not saving or recognizing the sustainability cost of this, then we are going to be dependent upon T-Splos forever, and the state could take it away in a moment.
Right, but this $5,000 isn't for maintenance. That has to be budgeted every year for a set of streets. So I'm not exactly sure what this is unless it's cleaning or something like that, but it's not. It's not repaving money.
It's nowhere near.
No, it's not repaving
money. Right, but that
doesn't pretend to be.
Right.
Tallahassee Road Bridge replacement, much needed. I think that thing was built in the early 1900s, and it's time to build a new bridge. That's $7 million.
Whitehall. One of the nice things about that bridge, too, is I think it's going to be wide enough for bike lanes.
It will have bike lanes on
it,
yes. Right. The Whitehall Road at South Millage roundabout, you know, where South Millage dead ends into Whitehall Road.
Mm-hmm.
We did a site distance grading on that road and closed it for several months last year. This is the next part of that, which is then to have the roundabout. You had to be able to see the roundabout in order to use it, so that's why we lowered that. It was a safety concern.
And the one on Whitehead Road at Tallahassee works really well.
It does. It works very well.
Yeah.
Number nine is important. That's Clayton Street. That's Clayton Street.
That's right.
It's more than just downtown transportation improvements, which is its title. It is actually, there's more money that we budgeted this years ago. I think we had $12 million out of a 2011.
That's correct.
Is it 11 splosts or a five?
I think it was five.
It was five.
And we went out for bid. And nobody would do it for that amount of money.
It came in, I think, about $6 million bucks over.
Over, yeah. Over, so that's what this is for, is for that project. And it's all, it's also to fix the infrastructure underneath the streets, the water, the sewer.
Yeah.
And this is also gonna give us a nice streetscape.
And it will solve a lot of the problems with the smell. Yeah. The people like to complain about, things of that nature.
So we move on to number 11 and number 12, which are related: bicycle improvement program and pedestrian improvement program. This is going; these funds, which is a total of $17 million, will be used to fulfill as much as possible the new pedestrian and bicycle master plan, which is still being formulated.
And I think that's going to be released next spring.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So that's exciting.
But that plan does us no good if we don't have any money to build
anything
in it.
Which is where we've been for a long time. We've done a little bit. West Broad and pedestrian improvement projects, that's $4 million. And those projects will probably be largely spurred by the report that's coming out of the West Broad Street study, mm-hmm. which is being done. It's actually Board of Education.
And there's some very interesting ideas in there about connectivity in that neighborhood between Broad and Baxter.
Yeah.
And following that Brooklyn Creek, recognizing that area needs to be...
There is a Brooklyn Creek Greenway in there, but it's going to be challenging.
Yeah, it will be. But if they will just use the areas that they've already got for runoff and beautify those areas as they've done in other places. Right now, they haven't done that. They've created them, but they have not beautified the area around them. And if they do that, like they have at the bottom of Plaza, a lot of those runoffs need to be beautified or they're not contributing in all the ways that they can.
Well, they almost turn into little parks when you do them that way. I
mean, that's right.
Well, yeah. That $4 million for West Broad, it's similar in character to the next three projects: Lexington Highway, Atlanta Highway, and Prince Avenue. Each of those have $4 million in this. Those are all state right-of-ways. And so what we want to do is leverage that money with GDOT on projects that they want to do and we want to do, and actually be able to spend a lot more money than that.
And, of course, we have recommendations for all these corridors. And they can be that have been sitting around for quite some time.
Some of them were recommended by GDOT.
We have the Prince Avenue
Safety Audit. They did an excellent job
on
Prince Avenue. I think everybody was impressed. Mm-hmm.
And this money can go towards, not just the road itself, but pedestrian and bicycle infrastructure.
That's right.
Crosswalks, bike lanes,
maybe
sidewalks,
even beautification.
Things like that. Sure.
Yeah.
A lot of options with that.
Now, the next project is acquisition of private streets, and I've talked to you guys about that. That's my little pet project. It's only $340,000. I don't mean that it's only, but that's what it is. And the purpose of that is there is a neighborhood, and there's maybe more than one, but the one that I know of where the streets were never turned over to the county.
The mall area.
Behind the mall. And the result was that those streets are in disrepair, and we can't repair them because we don't own them. And the fact is, the people that own them, which is a developer, they don't care.
Right. Well, they disappeared a long time ago.
Well, one of them passed away a long time ago. So this is to not buy those streets. They'll be quick claim deed to us at no cost. And this will be the money to repair those streets and take over acquisition. That project will probably only take between $100,000 and $150,000. So there's more in here for other neighborhoods that are nominated by the commissioner.
Jerry, when developers do a subdivision or add new roads to our network that we're going to take over eventually, are they being required to build sidewalks?
Sidewalks are required almost any new development now.
On any residential?
I don't know the answer to that, Gwen.
I know.
I don't know the answer.
I think it's an important opportunity for the county to put in place quality without the taxpayer having to come back and retrofit neighborhoods
It's been so long since we approved a neighborhood.
Right. I know that's a requirement on our major arteries. But in terms of like a subdivision, I don't know the answer to that. But Jerry's right.
The last subdivision that we approved was a planned development out on Atlanta Highway.
Right.
A couple of years ago
that never happened.
There.
But
it has sidewalks.
But I don't know if that's because it had to or not.
No, it had to.
There are large pieces of land that are getting ready to be freed up in estates. I know there's one over near on the other side of Prince. There's about three different ones that are being looked at right now.
I will tell you this. We've had at least two occasions where developers have come to us and said, we're going to just keep our streets private because we want to make the turning a little sharper than what you allow. And what they really wanted was to have more density by having sharper curbs.
Uh-huh.
And we said no.
Mm-hmm. No. Good. No. Yeah. Because no matter, just like with the one that you're trying to take over and repair, today they're saying that they want to keep them private. But it's
what
very
happens 30 years from now.
Very quickly did they not want the responsibility anymore.
Yeah. Right, they want, and the Homeowners Association might not want it either.
That's right.
If there is one.
Yeah.
So the last two are the City of Winterville. They get $969,000 for a pedestrian sidewalk improvements and pavement improvements. And the town of Bogart for pedestrian sidewalk improvements of $271,000. So that's the list.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's $109 million dollars over about 5 years, whichever comes first.
Is this thing going to pass? I mean, I think it will because I think it will. This is a new thing. So
I think it will from what I'm reading on the streets and on Facebook, you know, and I'm not just in a Democratic crowd. And I do see resistance from the other side. But I think it will. Those that support it pretty emotionally. There's a lot of things that people have wanted for a long time in here.
And you know, the argument I hear most frequently is the 8% tax.
Well, that's true. And then you know, the counter to that is, well, most of it's paid by out of towners, and that's probably true. But the fact is, these are not only transportation projects; these are economic development projects. These projects make our town more livable and more attractive for other businesses to come here.
It
and
definitely they raises the business, our image.
And they enhance the business atmosphere along places like Atlanta Highway, Lexington Road, and Prince Avenue. So these are much more than just places for people to drive, walk, and bike.
Yeah, I think that people need to realize that there's nothing on here. Maybe there are a couple of projects that we would have to postpone if we didn't get this. But the reality is there's nothing on here we don't need to do and shouldn't be budgeting for right now. And so if it doesn't pass, then that just means that our tax burden is going to be much greater in this community.
I think it's fair for me to say that the will of the commission, too, is to issue bonds for, you know, as much as $90 million of this so that we can get going and not have to wait. For 5 years.
So people will see results very quickly.
See results and start getting the benefit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so glad to hear that because the first project that we issued bonds on was the Classic Center expansion. Mm-hmm. And it took forever to convince the county that was a good way of going. But then when they really understood it, they put the jail on there.
Yeah.
And now I'm so glad to hear us that we're really making our money go faster.
It's still very cheap to borrow money, too. I mean, the interest rates are still pretty low. And you know, you're almost...
In fact,
when you pay as you go, you're actually almost paying more because the interest rate is so low.
Well, in fact, the cost of building material is going up very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get these things on the ground, we're going to probably save the interest money just in building materials.
Right. I would agree.
But one of the other things, Jerry, that I think was a mistake is that our county has been using staff to do these instead of outsourcing some of these contracts. And that's part of the reason why it's been so slow in getting SPLOS projects done. And I think we need to recognize that is penny pinching in a way that's really hurting the program.
Let's move on to state house elections coming up. Pretty soon we're voting in the special election that will affect our area.
Yeah, that's also November 7th, and about half of Clark County in the southern half and all of Oconee County are going to be electing new state representatives in special elections. And they're both starting to heat up, you know, things really once we knew that we were going to do this year instead of next year, you know, things really started to happen pretty fast. And we've got a really interesting race in 117 that we've talked about before with Houston Gaines and Deborah Gonzalez and Houston has kind of gotten himself a little tongue-tied over the Donald Trump issue in a couple of forums lately, where he's been pressed on whether he would vote for the president, you know, being a Republican, and you know, hasn't really given an answer. You know, he hasn't said. He said he supports some of Trump's policies, but you know, trying to thread that needle. Right. It's upsetting to a lot of people, really, on both sides, who support the president and who oppose the president.
Well, I think part of the problem here is that you know, it doesn't matter about Trump. What matters is that you have to vote yes or no on these things, and if you're not willing to tell the people now whether you're for or against something, then you're not going to be a representative that they can trust. Because when you get up there, unless you're a very strong and experienced person, you're going to be swayed by what's popular, what's easy in that little bubble that it represents the Georgia legislature. So I think he may be stumbling on his words, but Deborah Gonzalez has really gained her foothold. She really is showing herself to be a very valuable candidate.
She's very bright, and she really understands the issues. I just so you know, I went to a Deborah Gonzalez fundraiser.
That's great.
And I wrote a check.
Yeah, that's great.
And
too.
That was,
I did
that
too.
Was because I spent a little time with her.
Does
I
this saw counter some... counter out the check you wrote to you?
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And, I think.
And but it's a larger percentage of her donations than mine was. To
oh,
me.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
But I realized. Well, then Houston's campaign literature started coming in, and that really turned me off.
I know, it's so sad because. What's happening is he's really using the National Republican book to develop his presentation, and that to me is not a thinking way to go. And yeah, but I hope this young man kind of learns from this. And
it was not what you know the Democrats who were supporting him expected out of him.
I can tell you that's
true. He would be a moderate,
but
instead he's just staked out the right. Standard Republican positions on pretty much everything.
And what's so interesting is how liberal he was when he was UGA president, because that was what was popular there. So I think that's a big concern. But I do want to talk about Jonathan Wallace.
Yeah, he's a guy.
Oh, my gosh. I was so impressed
by him. Yeah, I know
him
pretty well. We go to church together.
Uh-huh, yes. Yeah. What a beautiful example of the new generation
coming
in there.
He's full of energy. He's so smart.
Right. He's made his money. He's got his children and family, and he thought about his community. Yeah. And putting people first is not just his slogan. It's just wonderful the way he presents issues with that orientation.
Yeah. He's a new elder at our church, so he's giving himself in many, many ways. If you've ever been an elder in a Presbyterian church, you know that's a lot of work.
A
it's
lot
quite
of
a commitment.
Work. Yes.
And that's another district. You know, these are both districts that really were drawn for Republicans, but have moved further to the left over the years, I think, as some of the demographics have changed.
Well, and the Democrats in Oconee County have really gotten organized.
And there's more...
They're really out there.
...passion on that side now. So, I mean, you know, it's probably a long shot, but that could be an upset. It could be.
But he's running against...
And he's got three Republicans running against him. And I think, I mean, just like John Ossoff, you know, a few months ago, I think he needs to win it in November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think if it goes to a runoff, you're not going to have T-Splossed on the back. It's going to be harder to get people to come back out.
Right.
So I think he needs to get that.
And he doesn't need that many votes. It's just amazing when you really look at the history of that district. He doesn't need that. So y'all vote.
And we also want to mention who he's running against. Blake, I toss it to you.
Sure, yeah. There are three Republicans. Tom Lord, who owns some funeral homes around town, and Stephen Strickland, who's a telecommunications business person, and Marcus Weedower. Okay, I'm saying that right. who's a home builder? All three from Oconee County Republicans. So,
and they're all
very right. If you do see a runoff,
they're very far.
Yeah,
right.
there's not a whole lot of
difference
as usually
between them.
There's not a whole lot of air between them on the issues. You know, this is going to be a friends and neighbors election where, you know, whoever you know is the guy that you're going to vote for. You know, whoever you go to church with, your kids go to school with, that kind of thing.
except
on the Republican
for Jonathan
side.
Ross.
On the Republican side, I mean.
Right. As a statement.
And then we move on to what the government has requesting from our state legislators.
Yeah. Every year, the Athens-Clarke County Commission, Mayor and Commission, put together a list of requests that go to our local delegation, our state senators, and our state representatives. This year, we have quite a list. One is local elections, and that is that, you know, in our county, you have to vacate your office. If you're going to run for mayor, you have to vacate your office
statewide.
If you're a commissioner. If you're an even number commissioner, that means you vacate your office after only 16 months in office. Yeah, you quit. And then you run for mayor. That's a problem. The other big one, and we asked for this over and over and over again, and this has to do with us being a unified government. All the unified governments have this problem. Our elections are in May, but we don't get installed until January.
Right.
Yeah. So, turnout is low.
We want them moved to November.
Turnout is low.
We want to move to
the general election time, which is in November. We want state. We get with these special use permit requests for personal care homes. The state regulates those homes, and we are seeing that they're not being inspected regularly. And we really want them to look into what they can do to enforce the laws with personal care homes a little more vigorously. We're told there's a very bad staffing issue. Sales tax reform. This is a biggie, and I'm not going to go real deep into this, but I'll tell you this. We don't know where our sales tax come from. The state does not tell us where our sales tax come from. We don't know if they're coming from the east side, from the west side, from mama's
because the state collects it
and they don't tell us.
City.
Right.
So
and then
asking,
right in the middle of
and how much
about every 4 months you get a whole bunch of money you don't know they don't know
yeah.
they may
ask for money back.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
We want to know where the sales tax comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Right down to the street address. And that some of that is considered to be confidential information. Okay, we'll review it with, you know, whatever agreements are required and whatever secrecies are required. But we need to know where our money's coming from and where it's not coming from. We want the sales tax base expanded. Internet sales. You know, not every Amazon collects state taxes. But I wonder, I live in 30622 Bogart zip code. Where's my money going? How do they know I'm in Athens-Clarke County? I don't know. We don't know if they're collecting them. So we want to know.
The thing that I think is exciting is the request to expand the sales tax base. And that is overdue. Georgia Municipal Association is supporting it. And the service sector, which is only rich people use.
And digital goods and digital music
and digital
goods. Digital books.
I think it's great that only 36 services out of a potential 168 are currently taxed.
And no matter how good of an idea any of these things are, they're not going to happen because we have a Republican-controlled delegation that
right.
never does anything that the commission
and,
asks
and
them to do.
And they don't listen or look at it. Yeah.
No.
Okay, a big one, issue, stormwater management. Senator Ginn has a bill in place to make it illegal for us to collect stormwater fees.
Yes.
That will kill us. We will have to raise property taxes like you wouldn't believe.
To pay for
what's
required.
Because we are mandated
bigly.
To provide. Bigly, we are mandated to do this by the federal government and by the state EPD. So if we can't collect fees from the University of Georgia and EPA and the people that own 30% of our land
and
the school district and the churches, it's going to have to come out of property taxes.
That's right.
We could easily go into more detail on some of those, but we are out of time. I do want to thank my guests, Gwen O'Looney, Blake Odd, and Commissioner Jerry Neesmith. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, WXAG, or Flagpole. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.